Amen. God is good, amen. Well, I'm excited to be here this morning, and I know God is doing something awesome. I love seeing, you know, all the little kids and seeing what God is doing here, and it's exciting. How many know the Bible says, choose you this day that, he says, between life and death, blessing and cursing, that you and your seed shall live. Amen. Amen. So when we understand, you know, we can think about seed, but I always like to understand that I chose life so that my seed, my children, can have life abundantly. Amen. Amen. Because I want to steer them in a way that I didn't have to go, or, you know, I you know, in life we did some dumb things, but you try to steer your kids away from that, and you want them to have abundant life and not do the same things you did when you were younger. Amen? How many can say the past is the past? Three of you. Amen. 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 Don't worry, I'm not going to get mad at you today. Amen. I was just praying in what I want to share this morning, and as you're getting ready, if you turn to Matthew chapter 25, I'm going to share something with you that we've been just sharing in our church, and I just want to share with you, and I'm going to try to put four Sundays into one, so it's going to be not gospel light, it'll be gospel concentrated today, and you'll be able to hopefully receive and to understand, I believe, where we are at as the body of Christ. So as you are turning there, Matthew chapter 25, I'm going to open in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for what you're about to do and for what you're already doing in this place. We thank you, Father God, for your precious spirit, for your word that's sharper than any two-edged sword, that, Father God, it is, as the word says, it is a hammer that'll crush the rock, that, Father, this is our foundation we are built upon, that, Father, as the winds blow, storms blow, Father God, we can stand firm upon that firm foundation, which is your word, and, Lord, we know that it will stand through the test of time. So, Father, we thank you for this word, for faith, for your faith in us. We thank you, Father, for all that you are and all that you will be in who you are in us. So, Father, we just pray your blessing over this word. And as we just receive today, as we obey your word, Father God, that, Lord, as we speak your word, signs will confirm what you have shared today. And, Father God, this is where we are. This is who we are, that we receive by faith in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen, and amen. Well, let's start reading in Matthew chapter 25. It says, now I believe I did share some of this sometime before, but we're going to go in a little bit different direction. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took their oil and their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, and go ye out to meet him. And all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and for you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, ye know neither the day nor the hour which the Son of Man cometh. How many know God does not have you in the dark? You may not know the specific time or day, but we know the signs. It's all within this word. We know, getting into this word, that time is short. I mentioned before, and I'll mention again, my parents went to a prophecy conference. It was just end times, these five men that spend their entire ministry, their life, just studying scriptures on prophecies and the end times. And they said, this one gentleman stood up and says, I know 186 reasons why Jesus hasn't come yet. Because when we look throughout the scriptures, prophecy after prophecy has been fulfilled, and there may be just a few that can happen overnight while you're sleeping. The other side of the world is wide awake. But he says, I know 186,000 reasons why Jesus hasn't come yet. He says, 186,000 people are still being saved each day on this earth. That's amazing. Amen. I mean, to me, that's mercy. That's the mercy of God, withholding all that we understand will happen and waiting. Still giving opportunity to those who don't know who he is, giving the opportunity to know the grace of God. Amen? Amen. So coming to understanding that there is 50%, the Bible says, as we look into this story, and I'm not going to camp on this so long, but I want to share something with you. It says, five of them were foolish and five were wise. It says, five took their lamps. Now, they all had lamps, which is representative of the Word of God. But then only the foolish, it said, didn't take extra oil, which is a representation of the Holy Spirit. Now, how many do we, when we look at the entire churchdom, you know, the body of Christ, 5%, it says here that five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. That's 50%. We're looking at the body of Christ today that 50% are wise, 50 are foolish. We have religion coming into a dead works coming into the place where we try to do things ourselves, but this is where the wise focus and rely upon the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Amen? Amen. And he goes on to say, they were foolish, took their lamps, but took no oil with them, but the wise took oil with their vessels and their lamps. It says, and when the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Everybody say all. How much is all? 75%? 35%? 2.5%? All. They all slumbered and slept. I'm just so used to being at home, I'm going to step down here for a bit. Because where we have church, I'm like right here in your face. But it says they all slumbered and slept. How many have heard of some of you well-aged? I'm going to say well-aged, you know. You're not old. My mom just turned, she's 60-something now. And she says, you know, she goes, my mind, I want to do everything I used to do, but my body just doesn't allow me to as much as I do. So you're not old, you're just well-aged. Amen? Where was I? We were talking about they all slumbered and slept. Now, when we come to the understanding that how many of you that were well-aged heard sometime in your childhood that Jesus was coming back? Amen? We heard that. I'm not that old, but I heard that when I was younger, and I'm not that old. We all heard that Jesus is coming back, so get ready. Be ready. Get ready, right? So how much more are we closer to that day than you were when you were a child? How much when Peter, I believe it was, says he was living in the last days? How much closer are we than Peter that's in here? Amen? We're close. Well, we know the prophecies and things have been fulfilled, but here we've been hearing it, and so much of what's been happening, it seems like the church is just falling asleep. Yeah, it'll happen. Yeah, let's just go through the motions Sunday morning. We're just gonna show up and we're gonna do time in a pew and after we're gonna keep looking at our watches and hope he's done really soon. And I hope I can get home enough to watch the football game, for those who like football. But it says they all slumbered and slept. No one was ready. There was something happening. But how many know we are being awakened now? Let's go on. Let's take a look at this. It says, "And at midnight there was a cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps." Now, whenever I read this before, I just passed over that "trimmed their lamps." But then one night I was studying this, and I really felt the Holy Spirit really put an emphasis on, look up the trimming of the lamps. Look it up, what it means. So I started to look up why, you know, before I just read over it. You know, it's just a part of the story. But how many know all the words are the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? God put these words in here on purpose. So it says, when they all rose, it says the virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. This means there is a preparation time. They trimmed their lamps so that when they had to blow out their lamps so that they could trim it, and then they could relight it, and then it would become brighter than it was before, because they wanted to be prepared for when the bridegroom came. This, I believe, in my own time of praying and understanding, this is where we are right now. God gave me, as we were studying this and as I was sharing it in our church, three words. Number one, awakening. This is where we are. We're awakening. We're understanding the word. We are studying and to show ourselves the proof of God. And I know pastors has shared about the New Testament, the New Covenant, understanding who you are in Him, in Christ Jesus. A lot of times we have heard the phrase, you know, all the promises are yes and amen. And then we start to say, yeah, they are yes and amen, but we don't read it fully. It says all the promises in Him, in Christ Jesus, are yes, and in Him they are amen. Amen? So when we start to understand, and I love these scriptures. I just downloaded off the internet, because it would have took me a long time to get them myself, but all the in Him scriptures, in Him, in Christ, and start to understand who I am in Him and who He is in me. It changes your whole concept. You don't have to try to struggle to do things now. Doesn't mean that we don't get into understanding faith, because faith is what accesses what grace has provided. Amen? Amen. Because I've heard some teaching already what's the principles of faith are just thrown out the door now. But how many know that if Jesus taught on faith, if Jesus Himself taught something, it must be necessary? Amen? Amen. So, we live by faith. The just shall live by faith, because we are justified. Jesus justified us to live by faith, to access all that He has He has paid for. But He goes on to say, or these three words, awaken. This is who we are now. We are awakening to the understanding of the things of God. Think about it. Just think. Let's talk about, last time I was here, I talked about the blessing. The blessing is just not money, but let's look at this for a moment. How many know that you were not made to live just by provision? God is your provider. But how many know provision has a ceiling? Amen? Provision has a ceiling. Provision is only enacted on your need. God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. But you were never meant to live in provision alone, unless God would not have created the seed. Because in the seed comes increase, abundance, and overflow. God wanted you to not just live in provision, just have everything provided, but He wanted you to take another step into abundance, into overflow, into increase. That's only one part. Let's think about healing. And this is where I want to turn to today. How many know there's a difference between healing and miracles? A lot of times we're praying for healing and we're wondering why it hasn't instantaneously happened, because the difference between healing and miracles is healing is progressive. And I'm going to share with this, we're going to get into this in just a second. Healing is progressive. Miracles are instantaneous. Turn with me to Luke chapter 17. Let's look at a story. I want to share this. This is where I want to get into today. How many know Jesus taught, He preached, and then moved in miracles? I start to base everything from that understanding. Jesus taught, we need to be the teaching, You know, when I go to First Nations, they got the Holy Ghost. You can't deny that. They got the Holy Ghost. But where they are lacking, and I asked my friend this that's been all over to every First Nation, I said, what do you see they need? And he says, teaching. He says, they got the Holy Ghost. They can have a Holy Ghost party, but afterwards, they got the same problems they don't know how to overcome. This gentleman's been all over. He's been, and I'm going to tell you, it's been an awesome opportunity to meet him. But let's go on. Let's look at this for 1 second. As he went, verse 11, I'm going to read out it amplified. So if it's a little bit louder, it's because it's amplified, okay? As he went on his way to Jerusalem, it occurred that Jesus was passing along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into the village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. And they raised up their voices and called to Jesus, and they called Jesus, Master, take pity and have mercy on us. And when he had saw them, he said to them, go at once and show yourselves to the priests. And they went, and as they were cured, they were cured and made clean. And one of them, seeing upon what was cured, turned back, recognizing and thanking and praising God with a loud voice, and fell prostrate at Jesus' feet, thanking him over and over. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was there no one found to return and recognize and give thanks and praise to God except this alien? And he said unto him, get up and go your way. Your faith, your trust, your confidence has sprung from your belief in God, has restored you to health. Now, let's look at this story for a moment. Here's Jesus. He's traveling between Samaria and Galilee. And here's these 10 lepers off in a distance. Now, as I was listening to a minister share about this, he says, there is something different about these lepers, because at the time, lepers did not congregate together. When you had leprosy, it was a death sentence. It didn't mean you could be healed, because in the old covenant, you would have to go show yourself, and we're going to get into that in a minute. You would have to go show yourself to the priest, and he would deem you cleansed. You would have to go through a whole slew of things you would have to do by works. The old covenant. But here, they would never gather together. But here, these men, these lepers, they are still men, but diseased, came together in their listening, or somewhere they would have heard that Jesus would come, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So their faith was built up to seek out Jesus, the blind eye opener, the dead raiser, you know. He was the one they were seeking. So from afar off, they said, Jesus, have mercy on us. Almost sounds like blind Bartimaeus. But he says, Jesus, have mercy on us. And then it goes on to say, in verse 14, and when he saw them, he recognized who they were by how he saw them. Now, I did look up leprosy, and it's changed over the years. But in the Old Testament time, when they started to look at leprosy, it would devour, it would take off body parts. It would deform bodies. Sometimes it would eat away at bodies where even sometimes they would say noses would fall off because of the disease that would just riddle their body. So Jesus, looking and saw that these men were lepers, he could have saw that maybe they had some type of garment on that showed they were leprosy, because when you look at blind Bartimaeus, he had a garment on showing forth he was blind. But when he saw these lepers, he had mercy. And he said, go and to the priest and show yourself to them. And what happened? Their faith rose up. He says, now our faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. We are seeking Jesus, and whatever Jesus tells us to do, we're going to do. So he said, go show yourself to the priest, because back in Leviticus chapter 14, you would have to do, as I said before, you would have to do a whole lot of stuff, and then the priest would deem you cleansed. So these nine get up and they start walking, and as soon as they start walking, they start to notice that maybe their skin color came back to normal. I mean, the disease stopped working in their body. They were healed. Okay, there's a difference between healing and a miracle here in just a second. Now, as they went, they noticed that the disease stopped working in their body, and they went to get cleansed. Now they're going to have to go through the whole rigorous ceremonies and doing all the things that the priest will have them do. But one turned and went back to Jesus and started to worship. Thank you. How many know the greatest way to receive is by thanksgiving? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And bowed at his feet and just cried out, thank you, thank you. Because he recognized he was healed too. But this gentleman was a candidate for a miracle. Now Jesus, let's look in the Old Testament. Or in the King James Version, I mean. And he fell down as verse 16, and he fell down at his feet, giving him thanks, as he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering, were not there 10 cleansed? But where is the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, for thy faith has made thee whole. Why didn't he have to go to show himself to the priest? Think about that. Why didn't he say, rise up, now go, show yourself to the priest? The other 9 had to go to the priest, and they got to go through the whole ceremonies and stuff, because I want to share with you this in just a moment. This one man who gave God thanks for healing his body was made whole. Remember the story about the woman with the issue of blood? The woman with the issue of blood, it says that for many years she had this problem, and she saw many doctors. At that time, you could only see but one doctor, but she must have had some money because she went to see doctors. Now, she went to see the doctors, and it says that they just messed up her body even more, so she just grew worse. And somewhere she heard about this Jesus, that he could heal. He could open the blind eyes. He can open deaf ears. So she went and started to seek out where Jesus was. And when she heard Jesus was coming through town, there were all this crowd of people. And all these people, you got to understand, all these people were touching him because Jesus is a superstar. It's okay to smile. Everybody knew who Jesus was. So everybody's touching Jesus. Everybody wants a piece of Jesus. But this woman, she knew if she was out there in that crowd, they could have judged her on the spot and stoned her right then and there. That was the law. But she didn't care. Her faith was, I need, because she had said, her faith says, but if I just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made, what? Whole. What was her faith? What did she say? So she went and she got through the crowd, and she's on her hands. You got to think of this. And this woman is diseased, and she's feeble. She's weak this 12 years. But she was so determined to get close to Jesus that she bust through the crowd. And she touched the hem of his garment. And something happened in her. And Jesus walking, and people are touching him, and Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? And the disciples are like, look at everybody. Everybody's touching. He goes, no, there was a touch, a faith touch that took something. It says virtue left him. And then we understand that this woman stood up and she started to tell all the things that happened to her. She was not just healed. The disease just not, it didn't just stop. But it says she was made whole. What does that mean, whole? It means that her body went back to even before she was sick. It regained strength. The miracle that Jesus did not just heal her, but it regained everything she lost. All that money, I bet you the angels went forth and started to bring that money back in, because it started to bring what she had lost. She was made whole. A miracle. Many, many times we see that people were healed. And when we get into the story of the 10 lepers, this man, this one that came back and worshiped God, this is where we are coming to an awakening to understand that there is a difference between healing and there's a difference between miracles. It talks about it in the gifts of the Spirit, the spirit of healings, and then there's a spirit of miracles. Why is it separate? Because we're sharing it right here. This one man, this one leper, Jesus says, arise, go. Your faith has made thee whole. What happened? Any missing body parts, anything that was deformed, anything that was happening to his body, what was riddled, he was made perfect, whole. This is why he didn't have to go back and to see the priest. Those other 9 had to go back. They could have been missing body parts. They could have been deformed yet, but the disease had stopped. But this one man had a miracle in his body that he was made whole. There is no difference from any other healed person. Jesus says, now go your way. You don't even have to go to the priest. You don't even have to go through the ceremonies. You don't have to go that way because you are healed. How many need a touch from God? Amen? How many would like, I mean, healing, we pray for healing. And healing is progressive. How do we know this? Well, let's look into some scripture. And then we're going to get excited about things. We're teaching this for a second just so we have an understanding. In John 4, 49, 53, you can turn there if you like, but I'm going to start reading. In John 4, 40, 49, it starts to read, the noble man said unto him, sir, come down here, or my child is dying. He's talking to Jesus. Jesus said, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him and went his way. And as he now going down, his servant met him and told him the saying, thy son liveth. And he inquired of him the hour that he began to amend. Healing is progressive. At the hour he began to amend. Then it goes on to say, and they said to him, yesterday at the 7th hour, the fever left him. And so his father knew that it was the same hour which Jesus had said unto him, thy son liveth. And himself believed in his whole house. Then Mark 8, 23, it says, and he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he began to spit in his eyes, how many a pastor came up to you and you said, I got a problem with my eye, and pastor took off your glasses and went, oh, spit in your eye. You go, whoa. We talked, I want to touch on this scripture later, peculiar people. We'll get into that in a second. Jesus was a little peculiar. And he looked up and said, see the man, and when he had spent his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. In other words, they were still blurry. And then he put his hands again upon his eyes, and he made him to look up, and he was restored, and he saw everything clearly. There is a difference between healing and miracles. I'm going to tell you that in a prayer service, when people are praying for healing, and sometimes they say, I don't feel any, maybe I didn't get the miracle. Don't give up hope. God is not finished. Amen? You sit there and somebody lays hands on you and say, I didn't feel a thing. Well, maybe I got a little bit. Well, praise God for the little bit. Amen? Start to walk it out. Start to believe it by faith that Jesus is not a halfway God. He didn't give you a little bit of healing and says, well, you know, let's see how far you get with it. No, he says, I will heal your body. How many know this is the will of God for your body to be healed? Well, let's look at that for just a second. Remember the man with the withered hand? He says, I know you can, but will you? I know you can heal me, but will you? Well, Jesus said, I'm going to read what Jesus said. He says, moved with compassion, put forward his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will be thou clean. My will is for you to be clean. Healed his body. Healed his body. As we are getting to understanding how close we are to the, I don't like to say the end, because for believers, it's only a beginning. Think about it. No time in heaven, eternity. How many think that the devil doesn't know his time is short? And he's trying to do everything he can to get you off this earth, because I believe the devil doesn't care if you go to heaven or hell. He don't care. He just wants you off this earth. If he has you off this earth, if you go to heaven, great. If he can make you go to hell, that's one on his, I guess. But he don't care where you go. He just wants your authority off this earth so he can do what he can. But God has given you authority. This is the awakening that I was talking about, that we come to this understanding, and that was just a segment of what God is doing in this earth, that people are coming to understanding. Now I pray for people. I expect miracles. I pray for healing, because I believe, number one, miracles are the greatest evangelistic tool there is. Jesus says you don't believe unless you see miracles. There are people that will need to see a miracle. And how many know God will do it? But then there are people that receive healing and we walk it out. You know, how many know it's greater not to go to the doctor at all? Amen? I had this, I don't know if you noticed, I had this little thing cut off on my eyelid. It was cosmetic surgery. I had to pay for it. You know, it wasn't even paid for, so it was just a cosmetic surgery. But that was the first time I had to go to the doctor for something, and he didn't even recognize me. He didn't know who my parents were, and my parents go there all, you know, they visit. And it is something great that you don't have to go to the doctor, because you can walk in divine healing. Amen? You can walk in the blessing. You can walk knowing that what who God is working in you. But then, how many know, just like the blessing, just like prosperity, financial prosperity, we as believers get sticky fingers. See, God doesn't have the problem getting it to you. The problem is getting it through you. Amen? God's blessed us because of our giving. And the more we give, the more we're blessed. Getting back to miracles. The devil starts to do something on this earth because he knows his time is short. But when we come to an awakening as the body of Christ, we are trimming our lamps. We are getting to the place that this is preparation time. We know time is short. We know, but we don't want to fall asleep. We are getting ready. We're trimming our lamps. We're getting brighter than we were before. The understanding is getting greater that, hey, we're just not going to fall for things. We're not now tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but we know what we know, what we know upon the word of God. And it, like the Bible says, the prayer phrase is, everything that will be shaken, but my kingdom shall stand forever. How many know this world, things are shaking? Just read the news. Constant negative news. I mean CNN, right? If you didn't know, that's what that means, CNN. Constant negative news. And you're getting to the place where you're just looking at this, and things are happening all over the world, and it just seems to be escalating in the world. How many know we are living in the world, but we are not of the world? You are a peculiar people. This morning I sat there and that scripture came up, and I looked it up because I wanted to see exactly where it was in Second Peter, and then you sang the song. A holy nation. Amen. Holy. As Pastor said, how God sees you. And sometimes we may not hit the mark. We may not feel we're well equipped enough. But it's not about you. It's about Jesus. Amen. It doesn't mean I go sin. Doesn't mean I plan to sin. It doesn't mean I want to fall in sin. But it comes to the place where I just know Jesus is the one that does it. Amen. If He is for you, who can be against you? Amen. I mean, we are getting suited up. We're getting our armor on. We're getting ready. And I want to tell you, when the devil comes to attack, you just got to stand there. You got to get your feet down, because you know what the word says. You know now what the word says, that, hey, I'm not going to fall for his tricks. But now, devil, you start to speak to him, because the word says speak to the mountain. Devil, if it's a fight you want, it's a fight you're going to get. But when the dust settles, I will still be standing and you will still be defeated. Hallelujah. 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 Because we got to get to the understanding, if the devil could have, he would have, but he didn't, because he can't. Think about that. If the devil would have, he would have took you out long ago. But you're still here. You're still here. Some of you may have gone through accidents. There's things in your life that may have happened to you, but you overcame. I like that word, nikeo. We first started our ministry, nikeo, the Greek word that means to overcome, to subdue, to prevail, to get the victory. Nikeo faith. So when we come to the place that, hey, I'm not just going to give up, I'm not going to give in, but I'm going to stand strong no matter what is happening, and I'm going to come through it all the time. All the time, I'm going to come through it. I'm going to overcome all the time. I don't care what the storm is. It don't matter to me what is coming against me. It may not feel good at the moment. It may not feel comfortable at the moment. But hey, I know God is for me. So if he's for me, he has already made a way for me to come out of this thing. He didn't put me there, but he made me a way to come out. It says the Holy Spirit, he says he goes before you and make the crooked places straight. To me, that's the favor of God. You may not know how you got that promotion. It's the favor of God. You may not know how you needed to maybe see the doctor, and they said it would take weeks, but hey, they call you the next day. They said, hey, for some reason we got an opening. That was the favor of God. But I started to take more faith in who God is than other things. Amen? Somebody spoke it, and it hit my spirit hard. It says, we used to pray for the doctor's hands or the doctor's instruments. We pray the blessing of God over that man, he would... How many know that's a prayer of doubt? If you can't believe God can do it, why are you praying for the doctor's hands? Are we going to believe this word? Are we going to start to believe fully, trust, have confidence, as the Amplified says, in him? I'm not speaking against doctors. Doctors are just trying to heal your body from the physical side. But I'm telling you, as a believer, we believe God can do all things. But how do we get there? Well, there's where faith comes in. How many know God does not, we've been praying, God, speak to the mountain, oh God. Oh, how many know we get super spiritual or spiritual? We get super spiritual when we start to pray. Oh, my God. Oh, hell. Oh, I ask you, Lord, to speak to the mountain. How many know God says, that ain't my mountain? That's your mountain. You speak to the mountain. I gave you the power. I gave you the authority. I gave you the faith. The size of a mustard seed can move a mighty mountain. I gave it to you to move this thing. But we've been praying a lot of times for God to move a thing when he's put the authority in you to move it. Remember we talked about the blessing last time? How many remember what the blessing was? How much time? Am I gone over time? How many know the best time is overtime? Amen? You're getting excited. I see a couple people sitting on the edge of their seats. I mean, over time, we're getting ready, right? But listen, I'll finish up. I don't want to keep you too long. How many remember what the blessing is? In Genesis, it talks about the first thing God did over Adam and Eve. He says he blessed them. He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue. Why did he say subdue? Because he knew there was a devil coming. But he also gave you the blessing to subdue him. Amen? But he says, have dominion. So when you speak to the mountain, what are you doing? You are using, by faith, we understand, he says in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, 23, he says, speak to the mountain. What are you doing? You are using that dominion that was given to you by God through the blessing. You see, it took me half a year to come back and start to talk about the blessing again. The blessing. That dominion that is within the blessing God put on Adam. And then when Adam lost it, he lost, you know, through deception. God came and gave it back to Noah. And then Noah passed it on to his son. And then to his son, we understand Melchizedek, gave the blessing to Abraham. And Galatians chapter 3, it says, now we are promises to the blessings of Abraham. Paraphrase. God's blessed you to be fruitful. Now we can see fruitful, you know, all these kids up here. That's a different kind of fruitful. Multiplication. We see that. But God wants you to be fruitful in your job. He wants you to multiply in society, in your realm of influence. But he also wants you to replenish or restore. God wants to restore you. That's a part of the blessing. And then he wants you to subdue the things that are coming against you. You have the ability, the authority to overcome those things. But then again, he said, take dominion. Start moving mountains. Start moving mountains. How many know faith but has one outcome? Faith has but one outcome. That's the word. If you're believing for healing, receive it. Receive it. How did they receive? How did the 10th leper receive? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you did. How many know over 2,000 years ago, Jesus paid a price upon the cross? And as we come by faith, we believe. You would not be here unless you did not believe. You would not be here unless you had some type of faith. You said, but Pastor, I don't have any faith. Well, I've been preaching for at least half an hour. You have a half an hour portion of faith. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But how many know the price that Jesus paid upon that cross? The stripes he took upon his back was for you and me. Well, it was for this entire world, so that when you receive, and this is the to me myself, my personal greatest revelation is I receive to give him glory. Think about that. I receive to give God glory. When I'm healthy, when I'm, quote unquote, what people don't like to hear, wealthy. You know, we may not be there, but man, whenever we can do, when it's time to preach the word, you know, do whatever I can, we want to look the part. I'm going to share this story. I'm going to take 10 more minutes. Then we're right there, 12:30, and I'll get you out of here. I was at a conference before at a financial officer's Aboriginal Financial Officers conference, and they had these three lawyers come in, high paid, I mean, money. You just look at them, but they start to say, these are the things you must do when you go to a First Nation. And one of the things really hit me hard. They says, you got to dress down for the people. I'm thinking, if you're getting all this money, you better show me the money. I mean, you better look the part and not have to dress down. So to me, I'm thinking, now I don't want to be to a place where I have to dress down. I want to look the part. If I look into the Word of God and I see something, I want to look to my best. Doesn't mean everybody has to look like Pastor Murray and everybody's all cloned. No, I want to do my best because I represent His best. I receive to give Him glory. Whatever I receive by God, I say, God, this is yours. I glorify you with it. And a lot of times it becomes a tool. People say, how'd you get that? What'd you do? What'd you do? Blah, blah, blah. And I say, it is because of God. It's my God. Why aren't you shaking? Why aren't, you know, everything's happening on this earth or in everything's happening around you. Why do you still have a smile on your face? Well, don't you think that's a little peculiar? Amen. You're a little different than the world. You're called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Amen. There's something different about you. We have to get to the place where you start to recognize you are not like everybody else. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. There's something powerful in you by faith that can change the atmosphere around you. Amen? Amen? Amen. Did you get anything out of that today? Understand this. Let's start praying for miracles. Let's start praying for miracles. There's a whole generation out there. There's a whole, your neighbors, you could be your neighbors. There are people out there that are lost. They don't understand faith. We preach and you know, we just had the greatest thing happen last week. Just by preaching of the word, we've been preaching, just proclaiming the goodness of God. And a couple in our church said, you know, we're not married. There's children involved. And they says, we want to make things right. And they said, we want to have it on a Sunday. Is that possible? I says, yes. And they says, don't tell the church. We don't want them to stay away and think it's just a family thing. We want them to come because they're part of our family. So we didn't tell anybody. I kind of built it up. There's a big event happening. And everybody was like, what is it? There's a big event happening. And when they came, we just had like a 10-minute message. And some of you said, I wish that was today. But we just had a short message. And we had the wedding. They made it right. Not by me saying, this is what you got to do. You got to live. You got to dress. You got to do. You got to. No, the Holy Spirit went and did the work. And they came to me and says, we have to make it right. I said, all right, let's do it. They says, we were going to wait till the fall, but we got to do it now. I think it was within three weeks from when they first shared it with us to last Sunday. They got married, and we're excited about their life, their children's life. So, you know, God is doing something awesome, but we're an awakening. I didn't even get to times of refreshing, the three words: awakening, times of refreshing, revival. I got 2 minutes. Listen. I know the kids are coming, but listen. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, it says, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. Where do they come from? The presence of the Lord. So, number one, we are awakening to understanding who God is, who He is in us, and then He empowers us by the knowledge, by His Holy Spirit. But then there comes a time when people are hungry and people get together corporately and they're just seeking God and something starts to happen. Why? Because God will always move upon His church first. God will always move upon His church first. So then you are awakened to understand who God is and who He is in you. And then something happens that, hey, I understand everything about that, but there's a desire to want to more of Him. There's a hunger for more of Him. And then it says that there will be times of refreshing, that God will come with just waves of the Holy Spirit. You already have the word, but then there comes that time of that Holy Spirit starts to just move upon each and every person, and then something happens out of that. There's miracles, there's signs and wonders, things are happening within the times of refreshing, that people are starting to opening up, and God starts to send his tangible presence, and then something happens that people on the outside start to see something happen. Remember the ones that were in the upper room? They came out and they went into the streets, and there was already a crowd out there saying, "What are these drunken as, you know, these guys are already drunk." And he says, "We are not drunken as you suppose." But they look like they were drunk. Understand that? Because the Holy Spirit did something new in their lives. But these times of refreshing will come, and out of the times of refreshing will birth revival, because outside of the walls, people will see people that were sick, people that were something was happening, people going through financial struggle, and something happens, and signs and wonders and things are happening that, and within that it says, "Repent, therefore, be converted, that your sins be blotted out." The sinner will come in because of what they hear, what they see, out of the times of refreshing. That's why I said, awaken, refreshing, revival. Awaken. This is where we're at. We're understanding. But times of refreshing will come because God is going to move upon every person that is hungry. 50% of the church will say, "We don't need that. We don't need that." But the 50 wise will say, "Come, Holy Spirit. Move. I'm hungry. I need you." You know, we haven't received the fullness of Christ yet. Some people go, whoa. What are you saying? The story's not done. Because the gospel is the life, the death, the resurrection, and the second coming. The story's not finished yet. He's coming back. He's coming back. The gospel is the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection. And we say we have it all. No, because he's not finished yet. He's coming back. And the second coming of Jesus. We have the fullness of the word of all that God has put upon this earth for us to overcome all things. We have it all. But the fullness of Christ, he's coming back. He's coming back. Oh, that's good news. Oh, he just didn't leave you high and dry just to try to make it by yourself. But he says, "I'm coming back." To me, that's exciting news. Amen. That there will be a day that, hey, we will hear the trumpet, and then we will see Jesus bust through those clouds coming out and go, "Hey, I'm back." And we're all going to know. I believe we're going to know before he does, because the same Holy Spirit that's in you, it will start to get, it'll shake you. I believe you will know right before he's going to bust through the entire spirit upon this earth, it's just going to vibrate. It's just going to shake because it's so excited. You've been waiting for this all your life, and it is about to happen. Is it real to you? How many know we're coming back? We're coming back with him again. How many have you named your horse? I'm not walking. I'm riding a horse. My horse is named Silver. I think I keep on changing my name, but I'm going to be riding back right behind Jesus. Yeah. Come on, Silver. Now, I just said that because of Lone Ranger. I think I called him Saber before. Something or other. But it hasn't become real to you. You're going to go to heaven and say, "Come here, Saber," and your horse is going to come. Because it's become real to you. Hey, I know where what my horse looks like. Like the black stallion. Has it become real to you? Is the excitement growing that he could come back at any moment? Well, if that is so exciting to you, how many want to win your neighbor? I don't want nobody to perish. Amen? I know what's going to happen after. I don't want anybody to go through that. So we come to the place where now we have a work to do. Do you know you just walking around the city made people look? You just walking around doing something as what you think is just a building fund, it made people see that there is a family of God that is sticking together no matter what. And what gives me great honor is to see each and every one of you in this place coming together as a real family. As a family. I don't see a church, I see a family. I may be part of the offspring to a certain extent, a cousin that visits once in a while, but this is the family. Think about it. Think about all, and within the family is strength. Amen? Amen, 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 amen. I purposely wanted to share a whole bunch of stuff today, and I didn't know how it was going to all flow together, but there's just some things I really want to share with you. Understanding, awaken, refresh, revival. Understanding there's a difference between healing and miracles. Let's believe for miracles. Not just for you. We live by faith. How many know faith people don't need to see a miracle? I know Jesus exists. I know healing. I know everything in that word is true. I don't need to see a miracle. But there are people out there that need to see a miracle. You say, okay, Jesus, use me. Let's heal the sick. Maybe there's a financial problem, and God uses you to be the answer on this earth. It's always one good thing to receive the checks. Amen. Bless God. We love that. But it's even greater to write the checks. Think about it. Think about it. Amen? Amen. Well, I hope, like I said, I hope you did receive something today. As I just want to come and share my heart with you, that this is preparation time. We're trimming our lamps. We're getting brighter than we were. We're overcoming some things we have been taught years ago that really didn't line up with the Word of God. But now, getting into the Word of God, we're coming brighter. That now when the devil attacks, you can sit there and say, is that all you got, devil? Right? How many want to get to that place where you just brush yourself off and say, now you got, devil? I don't understand, but greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah.